Okay, Yom Adaf Chaf Beis Amad Beis 22b. I am on a train, so I won't be speaking too loudly, but hopefully you can hear me. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mipnei Malon Nimshcha Malchus Beis Shaul Mipnei Shelo Hayabo Shum Dofi. Why is it that Shaul HaMelech's kingdom didn't really last very long? It's because he didn't have any dofi, which is translated as some kind of disgrace. What does it mean, some kind of disgrace? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yod Zadok. The only time that you are going to appoint someone who's a leader on the tzibur, on the congregation, is if there's a box of bugs behind him. Meaning what? Shim tazuach ta'ato alav. If he somehow gets haughty and sort of has, you know, a superiority complex over everybody else. So Omer lo chazor l'achlorecha. Look behind you. Look at the people behind you, the people that came before you that were somewhat disgraced, and therefore you shouldn't be so, shouldn't feel so superior over other people. Shaul, however, had good yichus, and he had none of that humility that was required to be a leader. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Mibnei Manan Shaul Mibnei Shemacha Kvoda. Why is it that Shaul was punished for what he did in terms of Agag, and we mentioned that before? Because he was machal kvodo. Shaul, being the king, should have had a little bit of status and recognize his own worth. But here is completely mochal. Shnemar b'nei b'li'al amri yoshieni ma yoshieni zev vayivizuhu v'lo hiviu lo mincha vayi kama harish. Right? They criticized him and he was like silent. Uchsiv vayas nachal vayal nachash ha'amoni vayichan al yavash ha'golad. A drasha based on Nachash Ha'amoni that came to fight with the Jews. So Rami Abiyochim Mishum Abishum Ben Yod Zarek Kol Tamar Chacham, any Tamar Chacham She'enu Nokim Minoter Kenachash, any Tamar Chacham that doesn't sort of fight back like a snake, Eino Tamar Chacham, he's not considered a Tamar Chacham. Ha'ksiv Lo Sikam Lo Sitor. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk you're not supposed to fight back, you're not supposed to take revenge, you hold a grudge? So Gemara says Ha'hu Be'ibim Mamon Hu Dichsiv. That's only when it comes to financial matters you shouldn't fight back. You should be mochel for that type of thing, but for your status as a Tamar Chacham or as a king, so that yeah, you have to stand up for it. You have to have a little bit of a backbone because you represent, this is how I understand it, you represent Torah, you represent Hashem, and therefore you have to stand up for it. Tanya, because the Bryce says, Ezuhi Nekima Vezuhi Netira. What is Nekima and Netira? Nekima, what does it mean to revenge? Amarlo Hashilene Magalcha, to give me your utensil. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Amarlo Lav, he says, no. So Lamachar, Amarlo Hu, right? So the other person says back to him the next day, Hashilene Kardumecha, send, you know, lend me your I don't know, axe or hammer. Amar lo, eini mashalcha kider shlo hi shaltani zuhi nekima. I'm not going to give it to you because you didn't give it to me. That's revenge. Ve'ezuhi netira. What's grudge? So amar lo, hashileini kardumcha. He says to him, you know, can I borrow your hammer? So amar lo, lo, lomachar amar lo, hashileini chalukcha. He says, the other one says back to him, you know, can I borrow your shirt or whatever? Amar lo, helach the eni kamoscha shelo hishaltani. Yeah, here you go. You can have my shirt. I'm not like you who doesn't give. Zuhi netira, right? So the same thing happens, except you make it explicit that you're doing it by holding a grudge. So Gemara says, v'tar digufalo. Is it really true that when it comes to someone who's disgraced or someone who is criticized, and it's for him his own status, but it's not for financial reasons, that there's no application of the Isser, meaning there's no prohibition? But the Braisa says, someone who's insulted but doesn't insult someone else, he hears his disgrace, it doesn't respond. So osin me'ava, it's considered like he's doing mitzvos me'ava, it's a good thing. And he's, and if you're happy with the difficulties that come upon you, you're like a son in his strength. So the Gemara says, so how could it be that someone who's insulted is supposed to just brush it off? Didn't we just say that you're supposed to fight for yourself? You're supposed to stand up for your honor. If you're a Talmud Chacham, the only time that you're not allowed to is if it's a financial thing, then you have an issue of revenge and a grudge. So here it sounds like you do brush it off. You're supposed to. So Gemara says, Lo Olam did not get labeled by. That really you're holding it in your heart, but it doesn't mean that you would stop somebody else stop somebody else for doing it on your behalf. This, at least according to Rashi, that says that in the case of taking revenge for a person's status, for a person's sort of own standing, you're allowed to sort of not do something if somebody else fights on your behalf. So Gemara says, "V'hamar Rava, kol amavra midos ma'pino lo akol b'shav." If someone is sort of lets things slide and is not so adamant about their own honor, so then Hashem is going to also pass by all of his sins and allow him to be okay, sort of give him a atonement. So Gemara says, "No, demefaisule umefais." If someone comes to ask for forgiveness, he should be forgiving. But if they don't do anything, it would still allow someone else to do it on their behalf. He doesn't have to stop them. Unless it's a financial matter, in which case you wouldn't be allowed to do that either. I don't exactly know how that would work, but either way, that's what it sounds like. So the Gemara says, "Mahin motzin achas ushtayim." We said before that when it comes to the lottery for the Kohanim, they would put out one or two fingers, and therefore they would count everybody as they go around in a circle and see who gets the tiebreaker to allow them to be the one that does the mizbeach, the trumas adeshen. So hash atayim motzin arbach achas mibaya. If you're going to tell us that you're allowed to have two fingers, then do you have to tell me you're allowed to have one? So Amar Rav Chisda lo kasha kan be bari kan. Really, you're only supposed to put out one finger. But we're worried for those who are sick. We allow them to put out two fingers, meaning that they can't distinguish their fingers when they have to put out two fingers instead of one. And we'll count them as... I think we can still count them as one, but they're allowed to put out two. So the Gemara says, it says you put out one, but not two. You still only count one. So the Gemara says, is it really true? You're not supposed to put out your middle finger or your thumb finger, because in those ways you can trick somebody into thinking that they're two separate people. And thereby... sort of better your chances of being the last one that gets the number. But if he only puts out his middle finger, so then we would count it. But gudal in monolo, but the thumb, you wouldn't count because you can't. Then that could be tricky. You're also going to hit him with a pakia, which we'll see in a second, for putting out the thumb, because that's a tricky thing to do. But somehow this implies that you're allowed to put out two fingers at the same time. So Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. So my mon and lo, what does it mean? You count nami achas, even though you're putting out two fingers, you're still only counting it once. It's just that we know he's not tricking based on the fact that your two fingers are so close to each other that it's hard to put out only one, and therefore if you're putting out two, we can tell that it's not two separate people. So Gemara says, my pekiah, this thing that we're hitting him was, what is it? So Amar Rav Madra, what's a Madra? My Madra, Amar Rav Papa Matrika de Tayai. Some kind of Arab whip. The pasig reshe, at the end of it, it has a bunch of strands that makes it even more painful to use it. I first thought this Mishnah in Shkalim ben Beibai Memuna al Vakia Amina Psilta. I thought it was like the strands of cotton that you would use for the menorah. Kiditnan. You blame me because I can't mehem yanan umin. Umehem yanehem, that the worn out pants of the Kohanim and their belts, mehen hayu mafkin, then they would use them for straps of some kind, ubahen hayu madlikin, and then they would also use them for lighting. So kaven dishmana dolha detani, but then I heard in the brace of laod el shalokim in amun bapakia, this one about the person with the fingers, we would use the whip on them. So then I knew that Amina Mai Pakia Nagda, it must be some kind of strap or some kind of whip that they would use for punishments, not just for the wicks of the menorah. Masa Shayush Namerit Shavim Ratin Volin Bakevesh. He said before that there was a story about two people that went up the ramp, and one of them fell down because of this, the way that they were doing it as a contest, and he broke his legs. The Gemara says, "Tanur Rabbanu Masav Edishnei Kohanim Shoshneim Shavim Vratzim Ba'olam Makavesh Kadam Echad Man Latoch Arba Amos Shel Chavero." So Natal Sakin V'Takal Lo Belibo. Same type of thing happened, and tragedy, just a terrible thing. The other Kohanim that lost took out a knife and stabbed him in the heart. Amar Rabbi Tzaruk Amalos Ha'ulam. He stood up. Rabbi Tzaruk stood up and said, "Va'amar Achenu Beis Yisrael Shimu Harehu." Harehu Omer, the pasuk says, "Ki matzei chalal ba'adama, person dies in the field, you don't know who killed him, and all of the elders should go out and say, "Anu almi lahavi agla arufa," but for us, we can't do it. We can't bring an agla arufa. Al ha'ir o azaros, we can't do it on Yerushalayim, we can't do it on the Kohanim. So go kol ha'am bevchia. We'll get back to exactly what he means in a second. So go kol ha'am bevchia. Everybody started crying and crying out how such a terrible thing could happen. Va'aviv shel tinok, the father of this Kohen that was dying, matzo shum parper. He was still had a little bit of life. He was rolling in the dust, in the dirt. So amahareihu kaparaschem. This is your kapar. This is your atonement for everybody else. This person's death. Vadayin bini mefarper. But clearly, also my son is still alive, and therefore the knife is not yet tame because he's not dead. And therefore he took out the knife, which is just unfathomable what exactly this means. But he took out the knife in order to make sure it didn't become tame. But obviously, it was a very difficult time in Jewish history where the Kohanim weren't very noble, and they said that it teaches you they were more careful about the purity of the utensils than they were about actual murder. V'chein hu omar v'gam dam naki shavach menashah harbei ma'od ad asher milei as Yerushalayim pelapeh. A lot of bloodshed that they didn't care about it. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my sekadim." Which one came first? The Mishnah, which said that one person broke his leg, or the one that said the person was murdered? Ilim shvichas damim hashda shvichas damim lo takinu payasa anishper agol takinu. The person was murdered, and they didn't put up a lottery, but all of a sudden someone broke his leg and they made a lottery. So what's going on here? El dinishper raglo kadim. Really, it must be that the broken leg was first. Then they had a lottery. Arva amos ma'avidatai. But if it was so that the broken leg was first and they made a lottery, so how could it be that the story ever happened, that they had a competition and the whole murder took place? El olam tishvichos damim kadim. Really, it was the murder came. Umeikara savar akrai v'amahu. This was a one-off thing. This random, terrible person that had such hatred in his heart was able to do it. They didn't think that any other person would do it. But then they saw that it could happen even in normal circumstances without a crazy person going up on the ramp. It still was dangerous, and therefore they started a lottery. Right, he said this whole thing about the Egla Rufa when the person died. So he says, Anan al are we allowed to bring the Egla Rufa al Ha'ir al Azaros? Do we bring the city, or do we bring it on the Kohanim? We're responsible for this part of this, for the Beis HaMikdash. It's not really clear that it's the city's fault if the Kohanim are responsible for that area. So Gemara says, "The Yerushalayim mi bas asuye Egla Rufa hi." Are you able to ever bring an Egla Rufa for Yerushalayim? But Hatan doesn't the Brisa say, "Asar devarim nemru Yerushalayim." This is asked him. All the things, the 10 things that said about Yerushalayim, and this is one of them. You're not allowed to bring. You don't bring Egla Rufa for Yerushalayim. The Ode Lo Nodam Yikau. You know, besides that, the pasuk says the only time you bring Egla Rufa is when you don't know who did it. Here, V'ha Nodam Yikau. We see the person who did it. We saw it. El Kadei Laharbas Bevachia. Really, when Rabbi Tzadok said that, it wasn't in order to literally say should we bring Egla Rufa, but it was in order to sort of emotionally inspire everybody else to see how terrible this was and make them cry. So ba'aviv shaltino k'matzuk shub mefarber amar harehu kvar aschem v'adayim b'ni kayam. The father gets up and says he's still alive. This should be your atonement, and my son is still alive, so that this, the knife isn't tameh yet. La'mech chashalem taras kelim yosem yishvichus damim. Teach you that they cared more about the knives than they care about the murder. So Gemara says ibay lehu shvichus damim hu dezal aval taras kelim t'kedchayim akayma. Is it that they no longer cared about murder in people's lives, but they still cared about the impurity of kelim? Or maybe they cared just as much about murder, about taras kelim hi dechamir, but all of a sudden they had some kind of newfound stringency about keeping the kelim pure, which sounds crazy, but either way, tashma mitkan nasav le'tamuda, the fact that the Braisa says v'gam dam naki shafach minasheh, the word where it brings a pasuk about the murdering, it's not that they became all of a sudden so stringent and righteous about the kelim, but it was really because of the murder that they didn't care about murder as much anymore. Terrible story. The Gemara then says, Tanu Rabbanan, upashat v'lavash begelag ma'achirim v'otis neshen. The person who brings out the trumas neshen generally has to change their clothing in order to bring it out. Bring out the ashamani k'derach liyom kippurim. Shaposh Bigat Kush, is that just like Yom Kippur, where you change from the golden clothing, the Kohanim clothing, to the regular golden, the four garments of the Kohen Gadol, the white clothing? Velovish Bigdechol, I would think that's the same thing, and therefore you put on the regular Kohen garb. The ones he takes off, the same ones he puts back on. Malham Bigdechosh, Afkan Bigdechosh, you still have to wear Kohanic garb. And you can't use your regular weekday clothing. So Imkain, Matom Lomer Achirim. What does it mean, Achirim then? Chusin Mehen, that they have to be a little less valuable. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Achirim Behotzi Limin Al Kohanim Bali Mumin Shekshirin Lehotzi Adeshin. That it's not teaching us anything about the clothing, but it's teaching about other people that they're able to do the Trumas Adeshin. You don't need a Kohen to do it. I don't exactly know how you get it because it's next to the Mizbeach, but either way, it would be kosher bizarre in some way, in some capacity. So Amar Mar Achirim Pchusin Mehen. We just said that the word achirim teaches us that it has to be clothing which is less than, it's not as nice clothing. So how do you know? Kedetana de Rabbi Yishmael, Detana de Rabbi Yishmael, Begadim Shabishel Bahen Kedir L'Rabo, Lo Yimzog Bahen Kos L'Rabo. I think we've seen this Gemara before in other places, but he says the one that you cook with, right, clothing that you cook with, mashal, an analogy, the one that you cook with for your master is not the same one you give your master, not the same clothing you wear to give your master a drink. You got to change it up. The way you present yourself in front of the master is different from how you do it in the kitchen. So Amr Yish Lakish, Kemachloks Pautzak, Hachmachloks Baharama. Just like there's a machloks about who can take out the Trumas Adeshin, so too it's the same machloks about who can pick up the Trumas Adeshin. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Machloks Pautzak, Baharama, Devrekol Abodhi. It's only machloks about who's taking it out to the trash, who's taking out the ashes. But in terms of picking up the ashes in the first place, that's considered an avoda, and you need a kohen to do this. So my comment, Rish Lakish, why does Rish Lakish say that the bringing out is the same as the picking up? Amar Lach Isa Gadaitech Avodah. If you're going to tell me that bringing out is an avoda, Yesh Lecha Avodah Shekshere B'Shnei Kelim. Is it possible that you can do something which is kosher with only two pieces of clothing? Right, it says in the pasuk, "Volavasha koim mido ba'ad mechse ba'yul ba'asha b'zaro ve'yir mesadeshen." He only wears a shirt and pants, but not the other things. Rabbi Yochanan, Gali Rachmana b'ktunas u'mechnesayim. It tells us about the shirt and the pants. V'uadim l'smes v'abneit, and then it also it's implied that therefore he also has to wear the other pieces of clothing, the headgear and the belts. So where it says Maishnahani, why does it therefore does it say these psukim? Why does it only say in the psukim these two things, the shirt and the pants? Midobad, midok, midaso. It has to be covering the whole kohen. Hold on 1 second. It has to cover the whole kohen. You can't wear short pants or a short shirt. Umichnasebad. And the pants. Can't put anything else underneath the pants. It has to be on his flesh. That's why it says, but not to teach you that those are the exclusive pieces of clothing he wears, but just to teach you that those halachas, here's the measurement and what's underneath. Rish Lakish, and what does Rish Lakish do? How does he learn those halachas if he's going to say that these two phrases are to teach you that that's all you're going to wear? Mido kmida so mida afke rechman blashon mido shlo yedavar kodom. The pasuk says mido as opposed to mido kmida so, so he understands it to be referring to the measurement has to be precise because it says mido and it doesn't say ketones. Okay, that therefore it has to be the right measurement. Not just a random shirt. Shelo yehi davar kodem lachnasayim. How do you know there's nothing else that goes underneath the pants? May al b'saro nafka. You get it from al b'saro, but not from the mechnasay. Mechnasay is what teaches you that he only wears pants. But al b'saro teaches you can't have anything else underneath it. Okay, we'll continue from there. Meretz Hashem and the machlokas Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan tomorrow.